Thank you, John. Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you both. Thank everyone for being so willing to play and sing and do all that you do. Colossians chapter 3. We stopped at verse 14 Sunday. I'm glad we did. I didn't intend to. I meant to go on, but I'm glad we did. We want to devote one message to this verse, and then, Lord willing, Sunday, we'll devote a message to verse 16, the Word of Christ dwelling in us. There's some excellent messages out there on that. But let's read verses 12 through 15 again. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Any have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. So much help here. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. So much comfort. So much joy. Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we can get a hold of this peace of God, it get a hold of us. He get a hold of us. We'll have some joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, sorrow and being downcast and troubled and guilt and all that, it weakens you. Faith, it just brings you down. It just brings you down. But comfort and joy just brings you up. Peace of God, he said in another place in Philippians. We want to end with Philippians 4. We're going to read that. It will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Keep us from despair and so much. All right, verse 50 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now again, who's he talking to? He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to those in Christ and those who have Christ in them. He's talking to believers, born again believers. But the Lord's even able to use this to give birth to someone, isn't he? Anything, any word, in season. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, you know, God's people are alive unto God. They once were dead in trespasses and sin, dead to God. Now they're alive to God, and Scripture says dead sin. Meaning, they're a new creature, and they respond. Life, faith answered to faith. Life, the savior of life, to life. So God's children, they hear His voice. They listen to Him, and they respond. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That is, yield to this. Don't let the opposite rule you. Like he's saying, put on and put off. Put off that old man. And again, let me begin by saying this. Without him, we can do nothing, right? You know that. I know that. Did we? I love Martin Luther's hymn. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We cannot, without Him we can do nothing. We can't just, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to have peace. You know, you can't do it, can you? But with God, through Christ we can do all things, by His power, by His Word, by His Spirit. And let, that is, yield your minds, your hearts, your thoughts to this wonderful truth. Yield to this. Bow to it. Believe it. Trust the peace of God. Don't you like the sound of it? The peace of God. And what is that? All right, it's twofold. Go to John 14 with me. Our Lord is going to the cross. Now, someone said, This is the greatest sermon ever preached. John 13, 14, 15, 16, followed by the greatest prayer ever prayed. And it was to His disciples, all of them. And He said here in John 14, He said to His disciples, remember, Judas was gone. This was a private gathering now. And He said in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace. I give you peace. I leave peace with you, and I give you peace. Be not afraid. Now, as we said Sunday, the Lord said this twice in the Scriptures. There's no peace, no rest, no peace to the wicked. Those who reject God, those who hate God, hate the truth, God hates them. And He does. Until it is known that they belong to Him and He breaks them. He's angry, the Scripture said. He's angry with the wicked every day. Every day. His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Right? We see it. Like the Jews saw the plagues in Egypt. The Egyptians didn't. They just thought it was a bad year. But we see it as a hand of God, as anger. His wrath revealed from heaven. His wrath abides on the ungodly. What do people do with that? John 3:36. They can only quote John 3:16. Nobody ever quotes John 3:36. Those that don't believe, the wrath of God abides. God can't love you and the wrath be upon you at the same time. But the wrath of God abides on the ungodly, those that reject God. Those who reject God's Son. They're at war with God. Satan was at war with God. He wanted to bring Him down from His throne. Man's at war with God. Yes, he is. You can't fight God. You won't win. And He's determined. He's perfect. You're not going to have peace. As long as you're at war with God, you're not going to have any peace. But, oh, Brother Scott used to say, lay down your rifle. Lay down your gun. Stack your guns, boys. Unconditional surrender. You better. You know who's going to win. Who has won. A man, you know, is against God. And there's no peace in this world. They say, false prophets say, peace, peace. There is no peace. Our Lord said there's going to be wars and rumors of war. Why? Because man's at war with God. And any peace that men seem to have, like the world, our Lord says, not as the world gives. Oh, peace, peace. There's peace and prosperity. Oh, boy, you can lose that real rapidly. Oh, there's peace in family. Oh, you can lose that. Oh, there's peace in this and peace in... No, there's no peace anywhere but in Christ.
That's right.
Whatever peace people may have, it won't last. It's very, very fleeting. Very fleeting. It's still the leading cause of death. It's heart failure. It's the leading cause of death. Heart failure. We're going to read Luke 21 in a minute where it says men's hearts failing them. Fear. But not God's people. Not God's people. He said, peace I leave with you. It's twofold. Okay? Peace I leave with you. And my peace I give unto you. What is it? Alright? Here it is. Peace I leave with you. In every epistle, Paul begins this way. Grace and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. There's a man, Brother Anthony Moody. They adopted a Chinese child, you know. The second one. And they named it Grayson. Because he liked the sound of grace and peace. Gracie, they call him. Grayson. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. They go together, don't they? By the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. This peace This is not a lesson in anger management tonight. No, what I'm going to talk about it with, and we are going to talk about anger. And the only thing that will squelch this anger is seeing what Jesus Christ did for us. We can't make ourselves not be angry. And I tell you what will. It'll break our hearts seeing Christ on that cross. The anger of God falling on Him because of this should have been on Him. Nothing else will do it. Nothing else will reconcile two people until we see what Christ did to reconcile us to God. Nothing. Nothing. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. Peace with God. Look at Ephesians 1. Your favorite passage. Everyone's favorite. Along with chapter 2. Along with Colossians 1. Ephesians 1. Look at this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He chosen us in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love. He did this in love to us. And He's predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It's to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Chapter 2, He's quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin. Time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, what did He do? Sent Christ to be our peace. God, rich in mercy, great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, didn't give Him a thought, hath quickened us together with Christ. It's by grace you're saved. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in this heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, by grace you're saved. He can't say three sentences without saying grace. By grace you're saved. It's not of yourselves, but through faith. It's not of yourself. That's grace. Gift of God. Not of work, lest any man should boast. Verse 11. Remember this. You in time past were Gentiles in the flesh, called to uncircumcision by the Jews. Verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant promise, no hope without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh, you're brought near by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace. He made both one, Jew and Gentile, broken down that middle wall of partition. Abolished in His flesh, Christ crucified, enmity, the law of commandment nailed unto the cross, John. Sounds just like Colossians 2, doesn't it? It is. To making Himself of two, one new man, so making peace, He might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross. He slain the enmity. Verse 17, He came and He preached peace to you. What did He say? This gospel comes and says, not asking us to make peace, but comes and tells us, Christ made peace for you. I'm here to tell you, Christ made peace for you. Those people at Pentecost, you know, what are we going to do? We've killed the Son of God. God's surely going to destroy us all. Peter said, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized, every one of you. You have perfect peace. Peace with God. God is not angry with you. Therefore, being just believe. Is that it? That's it. With all your heart. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Whew. I feel better already, don't you? I'm a sinner. We're still a sinner. We were a sinner. We are a sinner. We'll be a sinner to the day we die. God's angry with sinners, not God's people. He's not angry with them. He poured out His wrath on Christ. That's the peace Christ said, I leave with you. Christ is going to the cross and said, I'm going to leave peace with you. I'm going to make peace with God for you. Now let that rule your hearts and minds. Because when guilt, this will just bring you down and make you fear and make you fear things and all that, thinking God's going to get you. If you feel guilt, no matter what, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. We have peace with God. He's not angry. He's not out to get us. Like Brother David, can I say it again? He's out to do you good. He's not angry. Mm-mm. Go back to John 14 again. John 14 again. Look at this again. Now he said in John 14, verse 27, my peace, the peace I leave with you, verse 27, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. They can't give peace. Nobody can give you peace. They promise it, but they don't. But I give you peace. I give it to you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Over what? Anything. Let it not be afraid. Anything. Why? Well, this is the peace. Now, this is the second, the bifold peace, the twofold peace. My peace I give unto you. Peace, number one, He made with God by the blood of His cross. And the peace of God that Christ had by faith, He sends the Holy Spirit to take the things of Christ and show them unto us and show us Christ who lived by faith for us. And this peace of God He gives us by the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit gives fruit, love, joy, long-suffering, peace. Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us peace. And that's by, we get peace, have peace with God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have peace within by looking to Christ. Looking at Christ. Remember that storm that our Lord was in the ship? You know, after I looked at that for the umpteenth time, I thought, what is wrong with me? Why would I be afraid of anything? Now, you've got to believe that the disciples were legitimately afraid. The waves were crashing. But thinking of that, our Lord lying asleep in the water, being tossed, just sleeping like a baby, trusting God. He knew. He knew the Father loved him and that he was, his life is immortal until God is done with it. And it's the same with us. It's the same with us. I told you that story about the man who was having trouble sleeping. The believer, he's having trouble sleeping. And he got up, and as we should, he started reading God's Word. And he read Psalm 121. Said that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And he thought, well, if God's awake, I might as well go back to sleep. I'm in His hands. Every hair of our head is numbered. What's wrong with us? What are we afraid of? I think if we fear God more, we fear men less. We fear things less. We believe God more. I know that. We believe God more. we'd have less fear. Peace by believing. Peace by trusting God. Jesus Christ lived by faith. I love this. One of the most comforting things I know of is that we have not a high priest who cannot touch with the feet of our infirmity, but is in all points tempted like as we are, encompassed with infirmity. He never did one thing to alleviate his hunger or anything. He depended on the Father. He didn't have a home. He had one suit of clothes, one pair of shoes. Every day, he depended on the Father to give him his next meal. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a cupboard. He didn't have a pantry. He didn't have a can of goods stored. He didn't have a dime in his pocket. And he lived by faith. And the disciples lived with him for the next 3.5 years. They didn't work a job. They didn't plow a garden. They had families at home to take care of. And when it was all over, he said, "While I was with you, did you lack anything? Have you missed one meal? Have you missed one payment on your house? Have your children, your family done without? Have you lacked anything?" They said, "Not one single thing." Trust him. The truth be known, people, we are not a neighbor. One of the neighbor ladies came over to me. She's kind of an independent woman. And she wanted my help with something. She had one of those big Stephen, one of those big trucker strap, you know, come along like your dad gave me. Those things, you gotta know how to work this stuff. And she had it all tumbled up. She tumbled up. And she said, "This is killing me to have to ask a man to do this for me." She said, "For an independent woman, I have to ask a man to do this." She's divorced, you know. Fact of the matter is, we're all totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ, on our God. Totally dependent. Every person in here is his bride, and we're kept women. I like it. Right? I like it. Peace. You're never going to lack anything. You're never going to be without. You're not taking care of you or your own. Christ is. God is. Peace. Our Lord had that peace. He had that peace. Peace by believing. One time, remember, alright, our Lord was nothing bothered him. Nothing anyone did. Nothing anyone said. You know how it must have surely graded his holy character to hear all of that. He could read men's minds. We couldn't stand it if we could read people's minds. We'd either shoot them or whatever, you know. We would, but he could. Nothing about it. He stood before Pilate, the most powerful man on earth, like Moses. He stood before Pilate. Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to kill you or let you go?" What did he say? Brothers and sisters, nobody has an ounce of power but what our God allows them to have. Why don't we have that kind of peace? He said, "You have no power over me at all." To be given. Let that peace rule your hearts and mind. Let that rule your hearts and mind. Look at Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. This is so good. I was looking forward to reading this with you. Luke 21. The Gospel of Luke. Oh, I have so enjoyed it. For this, again, second time. Luke 21 verse 9. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Luke 21, verse 9. "Now when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. These things must first come to pass. The end is not by and by." He said unto them, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places. famines and pestilences, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. Before all these, they'll lay their hands on you. Now he's telling them they're going to die violent deaths. You know that? He's telling them they're going to die a violent death. Verse 16, you'll be betrayed by parents, brethren, kinsfolk. Oh, that's awful. That's worse. Friends, they cause you to be put to death. You'll be hated by all men for my name's sake. But until it's time, and not a hair of your head perish. Now look at verse 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Get a hold of yourself. Talk to his disciple. Trust me. Believe me. Read on down. It says in verse 25, be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars upon earth, distress of nations. Well, we're in that, aren't we? With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Powers of heaven shall be shaken. Oh, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up! When things are looking bad, look up! Things are looking dark. No, they're about to get bright. Look up! Why? Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. While the world is full of fear, we ought to be full of great anticipation. Look down at, we got to read this because this is what Paul has been telling us. Verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now to your disciple, take heed to yourself now, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. That's what we've been reading in it. So that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Look up. Redemption draweth nigh. Our Lord was always settling His disciples, wasn't He? Always. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Why are you afraid? When He rose from the grave, when He appeared to them, three times He said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Didn't He? First thing He said to them, peace be unto you. He'd already told them, my peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It didn't take long for Him to lose it. And then He... First thing He said, peace be unto you. All right, go back to Colossians 3. So let this peace, the peace of God, Christ made for us by the blood of His cross, peace given us by believing Him, by trusting Him, that He rules. Let that rule your heart, your minds, your thoughts. Let it rule you. Rule you. Look at, it says in verse 15, to the which you're called. You're called. Well, one place He said, it's not only given unto you to believe, but to suffer. For His name's sake. That's given. Why do believers go through tough trials? As a witness. Number one, the chief reason. It's His testimony to God. To say, God did this. That's what Job did. Job didn't know why everything was happening. He just knew this. God did it. And that gives Him great glory. Great glory. He called to be, that this have peace rule in you. Rule you. Not be angry. We read there in Ephesians 4, didn't he? Be angry. Don't. Put it away. Put it away. Our Lord said this in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you're called. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. David said this, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. Blessed are the peacemakers. Turn to James chapter 1 with James chapter 1. This is so vital. James chapter 1. The peacemakers, they are the children of God. This is so good. James 1, verse 19. You remember looking at this one verse together? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak or react, and slow to wrath. Aren't you glad our God is slow to wrath? And He doesn't, if He does show it, He doesn't keep it for long. Slow to wrath. Let's be that way. Look at chapter 3 of James. Chapter 3, verse 14. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, now Paul wrote that, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and malice all be done with. Bitterness is awful. It'll eat you up. It'll eat you up. Wrath, anger, it'll eat you alive. Don't, if you have it, don't be ashamed of it. Don't glory and be ashamed of it. That's against the truth. That you hadn't been taught that. Verse 15, this wisdom, so-called, this is what the world says, you know, defend yourself, go, you know, retaliate. Oh, this doesn't come from above. This is earthly. This is sensual. This is devilish. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion. Two believers can't get along. It's confusing it to people. I thought you all believed the same Lord. And every evil work, everything else will follow. Read on. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. You remember Titus 3 said, we once were foolish and all of that, but God, His great kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord, look what He did. So He said, you'd be the same way. Remember that. Is it peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, approachable? Oh, our Lord is, He tells us, come boldly. Full of mercy. This is the wisdom from above. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You want peace? You remember my dad's message? Did you hear that message? He heard it five times. You remember he said, if you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace in the home. If two people can't get along, one of them's lost or both. If there's no peace with God, there ain't going to be peace in the home. If you have peace with God, you must have peace in the home. God has called you to peace. He called you to be a peacemaker. But she won't. You be the peacemaker. There's nothing you can do about them. You be the one. You be the one. Make peace. Well, blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God. And we do need our anger managed, don't we? We need it gone. There's a Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, he that ruleth his spirit is better than the mighty. Better than he that can conquer a city. Our Lord had total control over his spirit. We're going to look at this. Let your moderation be known, man. Nothing bothers you. My. I want that. Now look at the next thing and I close. Colossians 3:15. It says you're called to be peaceable, gentle, like our Lord. In one body. In one body. Boy, if one toe is sore, it affects the whole body. And we read in Ephesians 4, it said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The unity of the Spirit, that's, we're not in here, we don't come here to, so people can pat us on the back and, you know, feel sorry for us and, you know, make us feel better. No, no. We're supposed to make each other feel better. We're supposed to edify one another. That's why we come here. Edify the body. Make increase, not tear down, not break down, not get people to feel sorry for us. Now look at this. Be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. That'll put away self-pity and all that. We're called to be thankful. God's people are thankful. But we're sure not as thankful as we ought to be. Are we? Do you ever murmur and complain? Oh, my. What do we have to murmur about? What do we have to complain about? You know why the children of Israel didn't go in the promised land? That's it. God is, as it were, he got tired of that. That's it. After all I've done for you, all you've ever done is murmur and complain. Okay, you're not going in. You didn't have to do a thing for yourself. I did it all. And all you did was murmur about it. Okay? You're not going in. That's what he said. Oh, my. Be thankful. Always. 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 Philippians 4, I said I was going to close with it. In everything, give thanks. And this is something that we need to ask the Lord to instill in us and kill that old man, put him off, put on a new, and something to be nurtured. And how it's nurtured, again, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, remembering our Lord's mercies and grace to us and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember these things. Don't forget the pit from which you dig. Don't forget where you came from, and you'll be thankful for anything, knowing that He hath not dealt with me according to my sin. I have not. My afflictions are very light compared to what I deserve. Very light. And it can't be nurtured. We told this the other night. My niece carried Grace Coffee. Bob's, my sister's daughter. Carrie. You know her. She's very pleasant, isn't she? Very happy. Very hospitable. Very outgoing. Very Christ-like, she is. Well, we're not born that way. We're born again that way. But this can be nurtured by parents, and it can. When she was just a little girl, she came down from her room, about 2 or 3 years old, came down in a bad mood. Now, what's a 2-year-old got to be angry about? She was an only child at the time. What? She came down in a bad mood, and my sister Becky wisely said to her, Carrie, he said, you go back upstairs, and you don't come back down here until you're in a better mood. She said, you don't have a right to ruin my day. And she did. You know how she is now, don't you? It's the grace of God. God saved her at an early age. Lost her mother when she was 17 years old. Witness a good testimony. Been through trials like the rest of us. Pleasant, happy, no complaints. And now, but I'm telling you, you wake up tomorrow, don't come out till you're in a better mood. And then tell myself that. What have we got to complain about? Nothing to complain about. Nothing. Philippians 4. Oh, my, I love this. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That's what we're saying about our Lord, that he never bothered. He didn't need much. He wasn't overcome by anything. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Full of anxious care for nothing. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Pour out your heart, cast all your care on Him. And the peace of God, it passes all understanding. most everyone in here has been through some bad trial, tough trial, and the Lord brought you through it. While you were going through it, you thought, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But He did. That passes understanding. Now keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Read on. Finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, what's that? Well, you ain't going to find it on the news. So you might as well just turn it off, huh? What do you say? Shut her down. You know what it'll do? It'll destroy your peace. It will. It'll kill it. Do you hear me? I'm not hearing me. I'm not saying that. The Lord, whatever's true. You can't hear anything on TV that's not a lie. Can't believe anybody. I tell you who you can believe. Him who cannot lie. Think on these things. Read on. Whatever is pure and lovely and of good report, don't listen to gossip. Thinketh no evil. Love believeth all things, hopeth all things. Pure and lovely thoughts toward one another. Don't believe it. Good report? Is there a good report? We hear nothing but bad news. Is there a good report? I got the best news you ever heard in your life. The gospel. Think on that. If there be any virtue, this is virtuous, what we're doing. Think on this. Don't listen to that stuff in the morning. Open this book back up and think back on this. Think on these things. Verse 9, these things you both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Whew. I hope that can be said to some degree of me. Trying to lead you all out of fear, trying, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace of God and the God of peace. You know, if we don't believe Him, He might just let us wallow a little bit in our fears, you know, if we don't trust Him. Okay. If we trust Him, believe Him, give us more peace. Okay. Stand with me.